welcome to episode number 2 of the Become a Guitarist Today podcast with myself, Adam Roach. In this episode, I will be talking to Phil Sobrano from the K Sobrano Band, who is currently on tour with John Stevens, performing around Australia. Phil gives some great advice to both people learning the guitar, plus to teachers as well, with some great quotes that you won't want to forget. He also gives some great advice on string gauges, picks, and strap positions. So make sure you have your notebook ready. We also talk about his family's martial arts business, Sobrano Martial Arts Academy. And Phil tells a great story about once when he got injured and having to continue his tour with a broken index finger. Now, before we get into the interview, I want to quickly thank two sponsors that I have now for the show. The first one is Custom Guitar Picks, run by Gus. This is one of the quickest service you'll find for custom-made picks. And you can do it all online. Design your own picks. Just head to customguitarpicks.com.au. There you can select the thickness of your pick, the colour, what type of pick you want. You can also upload your own artworks, then submit it online and it's all done. You can also check out the different categories of other picks to choose from. The other sponsor is Guitar World, run by Mick. Guitar World used to be a shop in the High Street, Northcote. Now Mick is concentrating on repairs, services and setups. So Mick has been doing all my services for the past 20 years on all my guitars, and every time I get it back, it feels like a brand new guitar. So call Mick on 0476 937 025. This week, I also had one review on iTunes from Busted Up Fan 81 regarding episode number 1 with Bill Levity. It reads, "Amazing podcast, Adam. I love Firehouse, and your interview with Bill was fantastic. Keep up the great work." So thank you very much from Busted Up Fan 81. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast, rate and review it. Now let's go over to the interview with Phil Sobrano.
I started playing guitar when I was about 13, I think. Might have been younger, might have been 12. Yeah, 12 or 13, yeah.
And did you learn, was it from a teacher or self-taught?
Here's the story. My father was quite a well-known martial artist, karate instructor, and one of his students was a musician, a little bit low on the funds at the time, and he put an idea to my dad. I'd shown a little bit of interest in playing guitar, and this guy was a guitarist, and they created a little bit of a contra deal where he would continue doing his karate lessons and in exchange for giving me guitar lessons.
That's great.
And so his name was Lou, and he introduced me to the blues and some classical guitar playing, and I did a few lessons with him and then a couple of other friends of our family. There's just a few things here and there, and probably went for a couple of years, and then I took it from there, and after that was pretty much just a self-taught kind of just discovery, and I'm still discovering stuff to this day.
Yeah. And so when you first learned, did you learn how to read, or was it just playing?
Did a little bit of that. I actually, younger than that, when I was about 10, I started playing drums. So I had a little bit of a basic idea for rhythmic music.
Yep.
And then my first guitar teacher sort of got me into a little bit of classical and reading.
Mm-hmm.
But me being a rebellious teenager, my sort of thing was, I just want to play rock and roll. And so I never forget the first day he came to the lesson, and he started playing, I think it was like a blues in E with a sort of a Hendrix kind of feel, and I immediately identified with that and said, well, what's that? I want to pursue that sort of thing,
yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he would bring over records and Eric Clapton records and Hendrix and Santana and those sorts of guys.
Yep.
That was the key to the door for me. He actually went to see Santana with him, I think it was in 1974, 75 at Festival Hall, and that just blew my mind.
Yep.
I was like, from that point, I was like, I want to wear a white suit with flares.
Yeah.
And and play, you know, play wah-wah and with a massive band. That was my thing.
Yeah.
He actually brought me to a whole lot of other things. And I think this is a good sort of, probably a good bit of advice for any music teachers out there.
Yep.
That, or teachers of anything really, is that theory is only as powerful as application,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yep.
It's, that those two things should go hand in hand because I was able to, you know, spend many hours with him in lessons learning stuff, and then he would take me to concerts and things and then be saying that he, that's what he's doing there, and if you listen to that, what that part is, we looked at that the other day. So he'd be taking me to concerts. I remember actually on the way to the office this morning on my phone, something came on the radio. It was Roy Buchanan. He took me to Dallas Brooks Hall to see Roy Buchanan play. I remember it was Roy Buchanan was just a drummer, bass player, and Roy with a playing a Fender Telecaster through a Fender Twin, no pedals, and very simple light show, and it was one of the greatest concerts I've ever seen.
Yeah.
You know, he was just an amazing master of the guitar. So, yeah, application, where application meets theory, that's where the rock happens, I think.
And now, do you remember the first song that you learnt? Like, I mean, complete,
first song that I learnt.
Yeah, complete, yeah, like complete.
Classic. Well, yeah, it was just, it was, what, four or five chords? It was Oh, Diana.
Okay, fair enough.
It was the classic G, E minor, C, D thing.
Yep.
That's how it started. It was just sort of strumming a few chords.
Yep.
And then there was kind of a few Bob Dylan songs. I think Like a Rolling Stone might have been one of them. And then I guess a complete song from start to finish with different chord changes would have been something like... what would it have been at the time? Hey Joe.
Okay, yep.
By Jimi Hendrix, yep. Yeah.
That's excellent. So I know you mentioned those artists before, so who would you say your main inspiration was to play guitar?
Well, Hendrix comes to mind because of the blues, the rock, and the pop all coming together in one performer. Melody and pop, you know, really from long 15-minute jam sort of tunes to, you know, really snappy 3.5-minute pop songs like Crosstown Traffic and Fire and Little Wing.
Oh, great.
Very kind of diverse style Hendrix had. And a lot of people just focus in on the, you know, playing it with your teeth or setting your guitar alight or that sort of stuff. That's only a very small part of the showmanship side of Hendrix, but the musical side of Hendrix, the sonic landscapes, the feedback, the distortion, his way to manipulate distortion and still get the guitar to sing, that's been a very influential part of my playing and the search for tone, you know.
So now back when you first started, how long would you would you practice for a night? Like, would you practice every night, set time, set routine? Or?
You know, it's funny. I never really discovered disciplined practice until much, much later, because my actual first love was performing as an actor or kind of entertainer. I was really always into acting and musicals and performing in theatre as an actor.
Yep.
So I sort of saw the guitar as just another tool or just another kind of like, what do you call it, arrow in my quiver or feather in my bow, whatever. I don't know what the saying is exactly, but I also went and trained doing tap dance. I was very inspired by those old Hollywood performers that were all-rounders. They could sing, dance and play an instrument.
Yep.
And act, like guys like Fred Astaire and Gene Kelly and those sorts of guys. And the other one was Sammy Davis Jr. You know, just he's the kind of guy who could pick up any instrument, drums, trumpet, tap dancing, singing, you know.
Yeah.
So I didn't really do that thing like other friends of mine who were guitarists, like my best mate, Brett Kingman. His whole life has been dedicated to playing guitar. So you know, he played from the age of about six and would spend hours, you know. Yeah. And you do hear stories of Hendrix and Van Halen where they'd be just playing guitar for 6 hours straight. That really didn't come to me until many years later, probably in my very late teens or early 20s, where I would actually sit down and do that thing that they call going into the woodshed, where you lock yourself in and you practice for hours.
Yep.
And, so when I first started, it was kind of like a hobby. And then around the age of about, I think, 19, I did lock myself away in my bedroom and studied. There were two albums that I've really focused on, and one of them was Electric Ladyland by Jimi Hendrix, and the other was, believe it or not, was Purple Rain by Prince.
Yep.
Because of the the very theatrical side of Prince, but also the musical virtuosity. You know, I really wanted to try and work out what those chords were and how he was making those sounds. And also with the Hendrix album, Electric Ladyland, all those studio techniques and different tonality of his guitar playing. So I did a lot of practice, probably. That was the sort of 4 or 5 hours a day kind of thing. Nowadays, I don't get time to practice as much, but when I do, it will be not playing what I already know.
Mm.
It'll be practice in trying to learn or trying to do stuff that I can't do.
Yeah, for sure.
You know?
Yep.
I guess that's a good saying. It would be practice what you can't do rather than what you can, because if you've already got it down, you're not really going to get a whole lot out of just playing the same old stuff that you've been playing for years.
Yep.
Nice. So that's just my little tip on practice.
Yeah, that's very true. That's a good point. So do you have a favourite song to play live, whether either be, you know, in a cover scene or original band or with your sister?
Well, there's a song that I wrote with Kate called Brave that never... It's just one of those songs. We just connected, Kate and I, in about 1985, 86, and started playing together.
Yep.
She'd been in a band called I'm Talking, and she forced me into this jazz thing, which I was never a jazz player, and I've never claimed to be, and I never will claim to be. I have an ear for it. I can hear it, but I've never gotten into the technical study of it, which I probably should, or I'd like to get into a little bit more.
Yeah.
We started playing sort of jazz standards and things together, and then we started playing pop and kind of funk stuff together, and we sat down one day in London in a studio, and we set about writing a hit, and we didn't think about it in those terms then. We just had a record deal, and we kind of had to produce songs, so... we came up with the song Brave, and when we play that together, that's a song that I never tire playing, because it comes straight from the heart.
Yep. No, that's great.
And when it comes to covers, I just love playing Purple Rain. I just love it.
Yep.
The song is just ripper. It's kind of, it's interesting because Prince was like a funk meister, right?
Mm.
But Purple Rain is sort of like it's kind of got a country song or something. It sort of has a country sort of feel to it. I don't know if anyone else gets that, but I hear like a country ballad or, you know, it's a country soul sort of thing.
Okay,
and again, that's a song that comes straight from the heart. So that's why I love to play it. Yeah. And also the solo, it's like it's the song's in the major key. And so, you know, where you get a lot of songs, the solo being like a bluesy kind of a thing in the minor key.
Yeah, yep.
In Purple Rain, the solo is just a really sweet major key for any guitarists out there that are listening. Just if the song is in A, then you play the kind of same pentatonic like shape as you would in the A position. You play it in the G position. So I think that's called the major pentatonic. You know, or I call it the country scale when I'm teaching young guys.
Mm.
And that sort of that I remember that shift for me from going from blues, you know, where it's all the bluesy notes, those badass notes, to like this pretty country sound. I was like, oh, that's kind of funky, that's cool. And now I try and slip it in whenever I, you know, that move from major to minor. Yeah. They're the two songs I love to play.
Yep. So do you teach guitar now?
Well, I don't officially teach guitar, but what I do is I mentor young musicians in finding their voice through their instrument.
Yep.
So my approach to playing guitar is pretty basic, and it's based on shape and sounds rather than kind of notes and theory and kind of the science of it. I like to take on to mentor guys that are learning music, learning music theory, sort of being a supplement training to that. So teaching them a bit of ear training and tone, and also a knowledge of how to create tone through your electric instrument.
Yep.
You know, because there's a whole lot more to that than just plugging in, you know. You'd know that with, you know, and I always talk about it, it becomes like a dark art, but that relationship that you can have with a low wattage valve amp with an electric guitar plugged in and just turning the volume back slightly so that you get a clean tone, and then turning the volume to full so that you get a dirty tone. That's just as much, I believe, just as much a musical technique as knowing modes or scales, you know?
Head on over to becomeaguitaristtoday.com. From there, you can become a member for the month of August for only $40 and receive a free book, Become a Guitarist Today by Adam Roach. Also, from the original band Busted Up, their latest CD. You can also get access to the closed Facebook group, Become a Guitarist Today, where there are thousands of lessons updated weekly. And ask any questions you want, they will be answered. So head on over to becomeaguitaristtoday.com. That's all one word. Become a Guitarist Today, nospaces.com.
So the guitar show, you'll be there this year?
I'm not there this year. I'm actually on the road playing with Kate and John Stevens on a national tour.
Oh, excellent.
We rehearsed last week, and it is going to be an incredible show. It's just, and if you want to talk about guitar players, in John's band, he has two of the greatest guitarists playing with him in Australia, and that's Danny Wayne Spencer and John and Simon Hofford.
Oh, yes, yep.
on each side of the stage, and that's you're getting flanked by two of the greats, you know.
Yes.
Simon being like a virtuoso and a super shredder, and then Danny Wayne Spencer just being a tone maestro and a sort of a soulful blues feel. Just, he also plays with Jimmy Barnes, and it's going to be a fantastic show. And Kate's fired up, I'm fired up. I'm actually opening the concert with my trio.
Oh, okay.
And we will do like probably some Hendrix stuff and some Otis Redding and some soul rock. Yes, it's going to be great.
And how long does that tour go for?
That goes for a month. So we're going everywhere. We're going Melbourne, Sydney, Adelaide, Perth, Brisbane, Darwin.
Now, I was watching some videos from last year at the guitar show. Yeah. We did some interviews on the Australian Musician YouTube channel.
Uh-huh.
And you were mentioning about the strap, the two different strap sizes with your strap locks. Now, I want to know,
oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, and I want to know, have you invented that yet? Because it's a great idea.
Yeah. I can't remember that interview, but yeah. Look, years ago, Kate recorded an album and we were preparing for the tour, and she wanted us all to wear suits, kind of like the look that Blondie's band had in the 80s.
Yep.
It was that kind of sharp, kind of mod suit look. And I found that the best way, or the way to get the best out of that look, was to lower the strap.
Yep.
So that you could see the line of the suit. And it just gave me a bit more of a swagger and a swing. And I'm also really into Pete Townsend as well, so it gives you a bit of room to sort of windmill your arm around. Anyway, since then, I've had the strap really low, and I've just gotten used to that. But there's a lot of songs and a lot of musical styles where you really need to lift the guitar up, and then, you know, if there's not a handy wedge to put your knee on,
yeah.
You have to put your foot up and put the guitar on your knee, then... I run the Shallus strap lock system on my guitars, and I've got a low lock on the strap and a high lock, so two separates, so I can lift the guitar up onto a high lock for a song. If you're doing like a more kind of cerebral or shreddy sort of song, we might need a little bit more access to the neck. Like almost like a Van Halen kind of thing. Then you just lift it up, lock it, and then next song, just unclick it and lock it down on the bottom one. So I really do want to get with a developer and develop that because I use that all the time.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great idea.
The other thing is, as well, is, again, a bit of advice out there. Just because you play your guitar strap low doesn't mean you can, well, it doesn't mean you can't play it high on some other gigs, or don't be too sort of locked into different things. Also, string gauge. Some guys, you know, they go for the very, very light strings, but you'll find that if you have to tune down a half step to some singers, those light strings can become very rubber bandy, you know, and, you know, you can overbend. So don't be afraid to stick on some heavy strings if you're going to tune down, or if you want a particular type of tone. And pick thickness. I'm finding a lot now lately that I have like a handful of picks, and I stick them in that little pocket in my jeans. And for whatever song I need, I just grab a different pick. You know, if it's a jazzy thing, you use a thick pick.
Okay.
If it's a funkier thing, use a thinner pick.
Mm.
And then you hear that guys, you know, and there's different things different people get used to. Like Brian May uses a little coin, you know, like sixpence. And I've heard really interesting rock and roll mythology things like that Jimmy Page uses 8 to 38 or some crazy, very super, super thin gauge. And then you go, oh, okay, and you listen to some of the early Jimmy Page records, like the Led Zeppelin records, and you can actually hear like super bends, and you go, oh, that's how he's doing it.
Yeah, for sure. Now, I just want to talk about with the martial arts, because I've also been doing martial arts for the last 30 years as well.
Mainly just... Oh, great. What style of discipline have you been training in?
Well, I started in freestyle martial arts. It's in a company called Proactive Self-Defense.
Uh-huh.
And in the last 10 years, just mainly doing Muay Thai kickboxing.
Okay. Yeah, cool.
So I wanted to know with you, because, I mean, I know you're right into it, been doing it for years. Now, have you ever damaged one of your fingers and had to cancel a show, or just had the show goes on?
Well, that's a very good question, and I do have a story there. So, yeah, I've been training in karate ever since I was a little kid, and also in the last 7 years I've been training in BJJ.
Yep.
Just seeing it as a natural progression to get the study of judo throws and ground grappling as a supplement to my stand-up training.
Mm-hmm.
I recall a time probably 10 years ago now where we were having a sparring session in the karate class, and we were just about to, my band and I were just about to embark on a 10 gig tour. At 10 gigs, I think in 10 gigs in 12 days. I found in martial arts training, you tend to injure yourself more with the lower graded students, newer students.
Yep. For sure.
Because they're either going too hard, or sparring to me is like jamming.
Yep.
And you know, the best guys to jam with are the ones that are the really good listeners and know when to find their their time and know not to overplay and know how to support. That's the same with sparring, light sparring in the dojo is you can really have a good time with it if you can feel the other guy's movements and know when to give, when to take, you know. So the lower belts seem to just go hammer and tongs. Like, all right. So
yeah, yeah.
I copped a kick and just my finger was just slightly bent and I went to sort of sidestep and just parry a kick and caught the index finger of my left hand.
Mm.
Yeah, it was just not a great angle and it sort of blew up and I went to see a doctor the next day and he said, oh, look, you've just sprained it. Just keep moving it and icing it. It should be right in a few days. So in a few days, we launched onto the tour and it wasn't getting any better. And I did these 10 gigs and it was like I'd be on the Voltaren and it was really swollen. I'd be on the ice and it was painful as all get out. Anyway, got back after the 10 dates and went to see another doctor and he said, have you had it x-ray? I said, no. And so I had it x-ray and sure enough, it was broken.
Oh.
It had a fracture in it. And the funny thing was, he said, you know, index finger of your left hand. He said, when you're playing guitar, are there any points where you have to put your finger straight across the fretboard?
Oh, except for bar chords.
Yeah. Oh. And I said, well, in a trio, there aren't many times when I'm not doing that. you know? And he said, listen, you're going to have to put that particular finger in a brace for the next 5 weeks and actually not use it. So I actually became pretty good at playing with just three fingers. and it really taught me a lot about chords and what notes in the chord that you can actually get away with not having to play.
Okay.
It was a really good lesson. And I was, at the time, I remember saying, what would Django Reinhardt do, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, he only had two fingers on his, like, he could use sort of, you know, because of his injury that he had to his left hand in a fire when he was a kid.
That's right. Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I got pretty good at doing that. I had a brace on my index finger and, we continued to tour. I did take on a rhythm guitarist, but I was definitely soloing with just the three fingers and it was a very great experience. So, yes, that's my injury from martial arts experience. there's been broken ribs and sprained wrists and things, but all good, you know. I never wanted to live a life in cotton wool. Martial arts has given me a real kind of, I actually see running as a very close parallel to music, as far as discipline and focus and respect for others, you know, all of those great things are all in martial arts and they should be more in music.
So you're the Sobrano Martial Arts Academy, isn't it, where you train?
Yes, that's right. That's correct.
Yeah, and do you have, is it just the one dojo or do you have a few?
Well, my dad runs his own thing, Tino Sobrano Martial Arts, and my brother and I have Sobrano Martial Arts and Sobrano Goju Karate, CGA, which we run.
Okay.
My dad specialises, has sort of like expanded into weaponry and Filipino arts, the stick fighting and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we've focused more on traditional karate and a particular style of sparring, which we've done for many, many years, and to develop young people and people that are coming back into martial arts into enjoying sparring.
Yep.
It's a particular sort of procedure that we take them through in training that so that it's not just get in there and beat the shit out of each other, which you can be sometimes, you know?
Yeah, that's good. No problem. Well, that pretty much wraps up the interview.
Yeah, cool.
Thank you very much for your time again. Really appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
I hope you guys enjoyed the interview. My favourite quote was, practice what you can't do, rather than what you really can do. So great advice from the master, Phil. Don't forget, you can catch Phil on tour now with his sister Kate and the John Stevens Band. I think they have a few more shows in Queensland, New South Wales and WA coming up this week. Make sure you join me next week for my interview with James Nilsson from the number one guitar learning app in the world, Musician. An app that has changed the way of teaching and learning guitar for the better. It really is an amazing tool for students and teachers. It is also available for bass, ukulele and piano. So you don't want to miss this one. Until next week, keep jamming.